Welcome to Mind and Movement, getting smart about how you move. I'm Hazel. Thank you so much for joining me for another Move Note. Today, the book we're discussing is Running Rewired, Reinvent Your Run for Stability, Strength, and Speed by Jade Desherry. So the key points we're going to cover today are, what's your movement program? Do you even have one? Two, what's your plan? How will you become better at running? Notice that they're quite similar. It's important to know what you're going to do. Number three, rewiring your movement takes brain power. So how's your concentration? Number four, alignment really matters and you can master it. And the last idea, fix your feet. And specifically, how strong is your big toe? Let's start with a quote from Jay. Here's Jay, quote, "Every runner knows that it takes a lot of hard work to get there, but a lot of runners get confused by this concept. They end up interpreting a lot of hard work to mean a high volume of work. In the quest to log the miles, it's easy to lose sight of the quality of those miles. First place isn't awarded to the person who racks up the highest weekly mileage or trains the hardest. Instead, medals adorn the necks of those who nailed the fundamentals, which in turn allows them to train consistently and successfully. You've got to put in the miles to get fit, but how can you be sure that your training is setting you up for success? Put simply, there are things that all runners of all abilities should be doing outside of running to improve their running. If you want to run better, you need to move better." End quote. That's Jay Desherry from Running Rewired. Jay is awesome. I've read a number of books on running now, and Jay's are some of the best. Check out the Move Notes on Ready to Run by Kelly Storett. It's a really good one too. And Anatomy for Runners by Jay to find out more about the keys to your running success. But back to Jay. He's pretty much the guru of running. I've learned so much from reading his books and engaging with his resources online. I highly recommend you get this book if you are a runner. And that brings us to the first key idea, which is, what's your movement program? Quote, "A poor movement program equates to poor body control. When the body becomes overwhelmed by the demands of running, it sets us up for injury or leads to compromised performance. Specifically, it is how we deal with the mechanical demands of running that dictates how well we perform. The two big questions are, one, is your movement safe? What type of movement skill and body awareness do you bring to running? Two, is your movement efficient? Could you rewire the way you move to drive you forward with less effort and less form breakdowns during your runs? An efficient movement program improves the quality of your stride for long-term joint health and efficiency." End quote. So a poor movement program equates to poor body control. This begs the question, what's your movement program? Do you even have one? How much movement do you get on a daily basis apart from your running? What does the rest of your day look like? Are you sitting in a chair for 8 hours a day? If so, your movement program, and more specifically, your lack of movement, leads to things like tight hip flexors, weak glutes, and limited core control. Do you do anything to undo this? Are you working on getting enough hip extension, firing up your big, strong gluteal muscles, and doing some movement-based core work? If you are not, you have a massive opportunity to reduce your injury risk and increase your running skill, which in turn will make running more fun. So, what's your movement program? Write it down. How many days a week do you run? What distances? And what else do you do? How are you working on moving better? And there's a space in the note there for you to write down what your movement program needs to include. And that brings us to the second key idea, which is kind of similar. What's your plan? Quote, "To get better at running, you must first understand the sport so that you can identify the sport-specific skills that are critical to improving. Then you need a formal plan of attack to develop those skills. And then there's the ongoing work to continue to improve and refine those skills. For a runner, deliberate practice entails taking specific actions to improve durability and economy, and this doesn't always involve running. End quote. Simply running a whole lot more won't improve your running. You'll just run more with the same imbalances. You need to practice specific skills, and you need to practice them purposefully with a lot of concentration if you are going to rewire your running. Which sport-specific skills do you need to improve, and what is your plan for developing these skills? I highly recommend you get your hands on a copy of this book, because that's exactly what it is. It's a plan to show you what your movement problems are and how you can fix them. Back to Jay, quote, "We are going to open up the black box of running and establish a system for making you a better runner. Your body drives your running form. Build a better body and you will improve your running form. By focusing on the specific skills that improve running, you can move with precision and strengthen your spring. To move with precision, you need enough mobility to move unencumbered and enough stability to control the path your body takes over each mile. Building the skills of mobility and stability will reduce your stress per stride and ensure your body's symmetry is dialed. Moving better makes you more durable as a runner, which allows your training to be more consistent." End quote. So what's your movement plan? What's your movement program? What specific running skills do you need to work on? Do you need to get better hip extension, glute strength, foot stability? What is it? What do you need to do? Start doing it today. And that brings us to the next key idea, which is rewiring your movement takes brain power. Quote, "Most runners' hip muscles are inhibited or unplugged. Put simply, you can't make toast if your toaster isn't plugged in. Likewise, your hip muscles won't turn on unless you teach them to connect with your brain." End quote. And another, quote, "To plug the muscle back in, we need to teach it to work and coordinate with the rest of the body." End quote. So, have you ever been told to strengthen your glutes? You probably have. The problem is that your glutes aren't plugged in because you haven't been using them. Chances are you do a lot of sitting, which creates the pattern that we see in most Western humans. Really weak glutes, quad dominance, etc. So are you quad dominant? Then you need to clean it up. Do you have the ability to extend at the hip? If not, you need to clean this up too. The glutes create hip extension and stability. But how are they going to create hip extension if the hip flexors are so short that the hip can't even extend? There are certain things you must be able to do as a walker or a runner or a human for that matter. You must be able to dorsiflex your ankle, which means bring your foot closer to your shin. You must be able to extend your hip, which means take your leg behind you. And you must be able to keep your spine upright with the strength of your glute max, as well as other things. Can you do all of these movements? Get a professional to help you find out, or get the book to see the specific movements that Jay suggests you try to see how you are moving. You need to know what your movement problems are before you can clean them up. Do you have mobility software issues, like the glutes being unplugged? And do you have mobility hardware issues, such as short muscles, stuck connective tissue, or joints that are jammed due to positional problems? Plugging your glutes back in is going to take a lot of brain power or concentration. Quote, "For most of us, the mental concentration needed to engage in a new movement ranks around 7 on a scale of 1 to 10. This is the cognitive stage of improving movement. During this stage, movement is not smooth and requires a lot of brain power." End quote. After the cognitive stage of learning a new movement comes the associative stage. In this stage, movement is much more clearly understood and felt, but it still needs lots of repetition to fully dial it in. After a huge volume of practicing the correct new movement, we pass into the autonomous stage. In this stage, the movement is automatic, and the chances of slipping back into the old movement pattern is reduced significantly. Quote, You can make changes in your running form, but good form is not going to happen in one session with one cue. Your body needs to build a database of proper muscle memory. Once your body has been there, it can easily find its way back, just like riding a bike. End quote. And that brings us to the next key idea, which is alignment really matters. Quote, but posture is not easily changed. Posture reflects your core strength, your mobility, and your habits. End quote. Your body has been shaped by your movement history. Better alignment can be created through new movement patterns. Creating new movement patterns takes time and concentration, and you can do it. Here's another quote from Jay. Quote, your brain is hardwired from an early age to put the body in a position of stability centrally in the core and to move distally through the arms and legs. When that central link is blown, certain muscles unwire themselves from normal reflexive movement. Others fire late and you lose the ability to move with precision. When posture and alignment are compromised, the types of inhibition we discussed in Chapter 2 begin to get your attention. End quote. We can get back to this position of central stabilization. To do it, we need to work out what our current movement habits are and work to correct any deficiencies we have. Most people in Western culture have the same deficiencies. This is because we have all been exposed to the same culture, a culture in which we all sit down a lot. Quote, let's look at how problems above or below the core can crush your can. Jay uses the analogy of the can to kind of represent your core. Even if you can hold a plank for 20 minutes. You have two big ball and socket joints, both below and above the core. Below the core, each hip should be able to swing freely from front to back without cranking your lower back into an arch. Above the core, you should be able to reach your arm overhead without arching your lower back. But once again, you can only move as efficiently as your body allows. Sitting and slumping for hours on end tightens the muscles around the front of the hips and pulls the shoulders forward. End quote. So can you stabilize your pelvis relative to your ribcage while moving your arms above your head? And can you stabilize your pelvis relative to your ribcage when you move your hip into extension or behind you? Stabilizing your pelvis relative to your ribcage means that they stay in neutral position relative to each other and do not move. Ask a runner to extend their hip and they will most likely arch their lower back to try and fake more hip extension. Ask a runner to lift their hands above their head and as soon as they reach their shoulders' end range of motion, they will again arch their lower back to make it look like they have more range. And P.S. we wonder why people have sore backs. This is why. If you do either of these things, you need to increase your hip extension and shoulder flexion. And you also need to learn how to stabilize your rib cage relative to your pelvis. Get the book to find out how to do this or see your local professional who has a lot of knowledge in this area. Check out Katie Bowman if you don't know how to stabilize your rib cage to your pelvis. Check out her exercise called the log pullover. It's great and you want to understand what it means to have your ribs down. Again, check out Katie Bowman's website www.nutritiousmovement to find out more about that. Now let's get into the last key idea, fix your feet, which is also the title of a really great book by Phil Maffetone that I have notes on. You should read it. There's also a really cool interview with Phil on my website. Check that out. Now let's get back to Jay. Quote, your foot is not a brick. It's a leaf spring with the ability to twist and adapt to the ground to keep you stable. For this to happen, it's critical that your forefoot and rear foot have good mobility and that that motion between your forefoot and rear foot is specifically controlled by the muscles inside the foot. This is me talking. Those muscles are called your intrinsic foot muscles. Everybody has weak intrinsic foot muscles, and it's a big problem. back to Jay. If you want to improve your balance, the first thing you must do is screw the big toe to the ground without cheating motion through your rear foot. End quote. I love feet, and I love everything Jay has to say about feet in this book. Due to the amount of time our feet have spent in stiff shoes over our lifetime, our feet are very weak and stiff. Returning mobility and strength to the feet is vital for any human, but for runners, it is essential. A lot of people balk at the idea of doing foot exercises, but they are key, like one of the number one things to do. Jay has included a lot of foot exercises in the book. They are worth the price of the book alone, in my opinion. So back to the quote above, re, your foot is not a brick. Can you push your big toe down into the ground using the strength of your big toe alone? Or do you have to move your rear foot or move at the ankle to make it happen? Most foot and lower limb problems are due to a weak flexor hallucis muscle. That's the muscle that pushes the big toe down into the ground. It's amazing how my feet have dramatically changed shape from spending time doing my foot exercises. Are you doing yours? I hope so. Quote, once your big toe is on the ground, it's time to improve the coordination of the muscles that stabilize the twist between the forefoot and rear foot. The main reasons that runners overpronate have nothing to do with foot type, high arch versus low arch, and everything to do with how you control your foot type. Normally, the big toe provides about 85% of the stability in your foot. If you can't master the coordination of the big toe, it's a forefoot problem. And when you've got a forefoot problem, the rear foot is unsupported and collapses down into excessive pronation. This problem is typically the cause of symptoms in Achilles, plantar fascia, metatarsals, shins, and almost any other foot and lower leg pain. Targeting the forefoot is the solution to keep the foot and lower leg aligned during running. End quote. So please go back and read that quote again. If you have any foot or lower leg problems, you need to strengthen and learn to control your big toe. Start by lifting your big toe off the ground while keeping the other toes on the ground. Then drive your big toe down into the ground while lifting all the other toes without collapsing your arch. You are going to want to practice this a lot. Get the book for the specifics. So that's it. A very quick look at some of the key ideas from this awesome book by Jay Dechary. So what's your plan to run better? Spend a moment writing your new plan in the space below. So thanks for listening. Here's a little bit more about the author of Running Rewired, Jay Dechary. Jay is a true expert when it comes to understanding the foundations and biomechanics of running. He's a physical therapist and a board-certified sports clinic specialist. His unique approach works outside of the traditional model of therapy to correct imbalances before they affect performance. He is also the author of Anatomy for Runners. You can check out the move note of that on my website. And is a keen surfer, skier, cyclist, and general outdoor enthusiast. You can find out more about Jay at his website, athletesbody.com. So my name's Hazel. I have a degree in exercise and sports science. I also am an anatomy-trained structural integrator and a restorative exercise specialist as trained by Katie Bowman from Nutritious Movement. I love working with clients to improve movement and reduce pain. You can find out more about me at mindinmovement.co.nz. And I hope you enjoyed the content of this note, but please remember that it is not medical advice and should not be used as such. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy moving today. See ya.